Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may stay standing for our gospel homily text tonight, which is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and yet no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And then he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Every once in a while, I come across a modern telling of the prodigal son, either in visual storytelling or maybe a poem or story. And most of them go something like this. An angry and rebellious teenager has no respect for his father, and so he takes his father's money and he runs. And then, after realizing how alone and broken he is, he goes back to his father, and everything is okay in the end. And usually, at some point in the story, it's implied that you are this prodigal son, and that if you're feeling alone or broken or sad or confused, then all you need to do is turn your life back to God, and everything will be okay in the end. But you see, this isn't always the way things work in real life. When you get in over your head with trouble, that means you can't do anything to get yourself out. You need somebody to reach down and get you out of that trouble that you've gotten yourself in. And plus, where in the Bible does it say that if you turn your life to God, you'll never have problems again and that your life will be okay from here on out? Most of the adaptations of the parable claim that the prodigal son is a story of our life, and I will grant them that it is, but not in the way that most of them use it. The prodigal son is the story of our life because it is our foolishness that leads us down a dangerous road, but it is God's foolishness that brings us safely home. Let's look at the story. So the prodigal son, and prodigal means foolish, by the way, he goes to his father and demands that his father give him his inheritance early. The son's being greedy. And the son then takes this money and runs, and he spends it on prodigal, on foolish living. And a famine comes, and this Jewish man is forced to become a slave to a Gentile. And he's so starved that he would eventually love to eat the food that pigs eat. And pigs were an unclean animal to the Jews. They wouldn't go near them. Now, you can equate this story to that of a rebellious teenager, like many modern adaptations, being greedy, not thinking straight, being foolish, not planning ahead. But this sounds like many college students and many adults, too, for that matter. And we've all been greedy. But the son was greedy for prosperity. And his prosperity was connected to something else. It was connected to his pride. The son thought he knew better how to use his wealth than his father. And so he set off on a journey to find his own way, to seek his own answers, the way that felt best to him, his own individual way of doing things. And his pride led him to believe that he should take care of himself in whatever way possible. And we all have this inclination, this urge to make ourselves prosperous by whatever means possible. And many times, our idea of prosperity doesn't even have to do with money. It may include some good things. Things like graduating from college, getting a good degree, getting a good job, having a good family, building a nice home, having health, good health, and so on. But our idea of prosperity also includes some bad things. Things like fulfilling lustful desires, sinful habits, and so on. And because of our old Adam, we have a hard time separating these good things from these bad things. And we don't always get the good things that we want. Even these good things that we strive for don't always work out. We seem to suffer problems with our health. We have problems in our relationships or in our families. And we see the collapse of morals all around us. We don't understand why these things happen, why there's pain, why there's suffering, and why there is death. And our natural inclination is to try to seek something better, to try to seek answers. And even if everything seems to be going fine, our natural inclination is still the same, to try to seek something better. Our old Adam has a desire to seek its own answers and to experience all that it can. It doesn't want to be restrained by the law. It wants to take the possessions of its father and run. And it will seek its own answers, or it will try to, but it will ultimately fail. It can't succeed. But our old Adam won't stop trying. If it can't find the answers that it wants, the type of life that it wants, or the type of prosperity that it wants, it will keep on trying. Our old Adam is incapable of getting to the root of the problem. The best that it can do is run. And when it runs, it tries to hide. And this is how sinful addictive habits begin. When we realize that we're not getting the type of life that we want, or we don't have the type of prosperity that we want, or we're not finding fulfillment in you name it, we indulge ourselves and we try to overshadow and hide our doubts and our fears. And it begins first by trying something just once to try to deal with some issue or problem. But eventually, these little sinful habits begin to take over. And our old Adam gives us the delusion that this is what we needed all along, that this will help us find our prosperity, that this will help us solve all of our problems. This is how the son in the story wasted his possession with prodigal living. After a while, he just couldn't stop. And in all of this, when we think we need to find and fulfill our desires and feel good, when we think that we know better than what God says in his word, we're being deceived by the same delusion that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. That is, you can be like God and know the difference between good and evil. Our sinful nature says, don't listen to the church. Your mind will be open. Just do it just once. You don't need to listen to God this time. And sooner or later, our old Adam will lead us into the same deadly situation that led the prodigal son, into starvation. Maybe not physically or literally, but spiritual starvation. Our foolishness leads us down a dangerous road. And how much good our foolish pride did for us. But our text says something interesting about the son after he was starving. It says, when he came to himself. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The son thought he was going to gain prosperity, wealth, knowledge by ignoring his father and running away. But now he finally comes to himself, and he is sincerely sorry for what he has done, and he's thinking, how am I going to get myself out of the situation that I've gotten into? I'll have to go back to my father and beg him to become a slave to him. But even being a slave will be better than the life that I have now. And so he goes back to his father. But before he even begins to beg to his father, he realizes the forgiveness and love of his father. His father ran out to get him, held a feast in his honor, brought him back, put a ring on his hand. What's the cause of love and forgiveness of the father? It's completely undeserved. But this is the very forgiveness and the very love that Jesus has for each one of us. And not only that, but Jesus understands our situation. You see, Jesus left his father too. Jesus became a prodigal son for us. That is, Jesus did everything that this world would consider foolish for us. Just listen to what we say in the Creed. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. But then he descended to hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. The inheritance that we wasted away, the inheritance that we lost by our prodigal living, Jesus won back for us by his blood. And not only that, Jesus doesn't keep this inheritance for himself. But Jesus gives this inheritance to us, and he gives us so much more than we deserve. Everything that our old Adam thought it needed, everything that our foolish pride wanted, pales in comparison to the inheritance that we now receive from Jesus. And our inheritance isn't anything on earth. Our inheritance is so much more wonderful, so much more important, and so much more eternal. Our inheritance is our salvation, our hope of heaven. And Jesus brings us our inheritance, and he brings us to him through his means of grace. And just think of how he did it. Through baptism, Jesus brought you into his family and made you an heir of this wonderful inheritance. Through absolution, Jesus forgives your sins of greed, of pride. Through the Lord's Supper, he does the same thing. And it required no sojourning, no traveling, no seeking on our part, because we can't seek God. But Jesus sought us, and he has brought us back into his family. The story of the prodigal son is a story of our life. But it's not the story of our earthly life. It's a story of our spiritual life. Because our foolishness constantly leads us away from God. But it is God's foolishness in Jesus that has brought us safely home. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.